Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today is the day that the church celebrates St. Mary Magdalene, a woman who the scriptures speak very fondly of as a woman who followed Jesus. There's been so much confusion about her over the years, and part of that is because it seems like Mary is the most common woman's name in the New Testament. You can think of multiple women named Mary. You have the most important woman who has ever lived, Mary, the mother of our Lord. You have Mary Magdalene. You have Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. You have another Mary present for the burial, for taking care of the body. You have so many women named Mary. It's a beautiful name. It comes from the Hebrew word Miriam, which actually means bitter. But Mare means of the sea. So, we look at the multiple women named Mary. Mary Magdalene gets confused because of her placement sometimes in the scriptures. For years, I have had people think that Mary is the woman who had lived as a harlot. But the Bible doesn't actually say that that was Mary. Our gospel lesson, that Mary, our gospel lesson for tonight takes place right before St. Luke talks about who this Mary of Magdala was. Whether or not she is the woman in our gospel lesson, I'm not entirely sure. That woman is not named. We see at least two examples of women coming to anoint the feet of Jesus with costly oil and with their tears and hair. So right after our text ends, where he says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace," Luke chapter 8 begins. "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons." So the scriptures very clearly at least tell us that this Mary that we call Magdalene had been healed after she had been possessed by 7 demons. I cannot fathom what her life was like being tormented by 7 demons. It's hard enough to imagine what it would be like under just 1 demon, let alone 7 of them. So whether or not she is the woman who is crying at the feet of Jesus, she is the woman who is anointing his feet with her hair, with her tears, who cannot stop kissing his feet because she confesses that this is the one who can save her from her sins, save her from the torments of the devil or not. We do know for sure that Jesus loves men and women. He loves them equally. Men and women at the same time are different. Yes, Jesus loves them equally. He cares for men and women, but you'll notice that he does not call women to be put into those positions of authority. It says that they have the 12, those 12 men that Jesus had called to follow him, but also the 12 that he would send out in his name to preach, to teach, and to administer the sacraments. Jesus does call on Mary Magdalene to go to his disciples, including Peter, and tell them that he had risen from the dead. But he does not give her the pastoral office. He does not make her an authority over any men. Men and women are saved equally by faith in Jesus Christ. Jew and Greek are saved equally by faith in Jesus Christ. Slave and free are saved equally by faith in Jesus Christ. But there is still male, there's still female. There's still Jew, there's still Greek. There's still slave, and there is still free. Salvation is equal in that it's the faith that saves equally. But we are different. Men and women are different. Thanks be to God. Can you imagine what the world would be like with just men in it? Or flip it around. Can you imagine what it would be like with just women in it? Whew. What a weird world that would be. But God didn't make it that way. He made the man and said it was not good that he should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. I will make a helper to assist him, not to lord over him, not to rule over him, not to be trampled by him, but to assist him. And so God caused the man to fall asleep, and from his side he took that rib and he formed a woman. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Isha, for she has been taken from Ish. Woman, because she has been taken from man. Thanks be to God, men and women are not identical. Thanks be to God, he has made us for his purposes. And while the world, convinced by the lies of the devil, tries to seek androgyny, tries to seek interchangeability between men and women, we give thanks to God that he has made us distinct, that he has made men to do certain things, and that he has made women to do certain things. Yes, many of those things overlap, but there are some things that women are not called by God to do, just as there are some things that God has not called a single man to do. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, these women who care for his body after his death are extremely important. His mother, who spent her life caring for her son, pointing people to Jesus, these are all beautiful things. But none of them were given authority over men. They were not given the pastoral office, and they were not given that authority. We see that further laid out in 1 Timothy 2 regarding the relationships in the church. St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes in his first letter to Timothy, he writes, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." The orders of creation show us God's design, and that's okay. If we take issue with God's design, we need to recognize that it's not God that makes us mad at God's design. It is rather the devil. And we need to repent. We see this clearly because we know that it is Eve that eats the fruit first. And yet we do not refer to this as Eve's sin. We do not refer to this as the fall according to Eve, rather we call this Adam's fall. We see this in our epistle lesson for tonight from Romans 5. As through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. St. Paul gets it right. The orders of creation are built in there. It is the woman who is deceived by the lies of the devil who falls prey to those lies. And yet her husband was her head. Her husband had been granted the authority. And it is his failure that doomed all mankind to sin. And it is only by the undoing of the second Adam, Jesus the Christ, that salvation comes to male and female, to Jew and Greek, to slave and free. The second Adam unravels the work of the devil, the work of the world, the work of the flesh, and his blood covers us. We are drowned, we die, we are buried with Christ, and we rise to newness of life in him. So that when I hear these words of God and I get angry about it, I will submit to him as a man, submitting to my Lord, and hold fast to what his word teaches. The church is the bride of Christ, and the bride is to submit to her bridegroom, just as St. Paul writes in Ephesians 5. This is an example of Christ and his church. The church needs to remember her place. Her place is a beautiful place. Her place is as the mother of all God's children. Her place is a home in which nurturing happens, where the saints are fed and nourished, where people may come together and rejoice. But she must submit to Christ. Thanks be to God that Adam's fall, by listening to his wife, who listened to the devil instead of God, thanks be to God that wasn't the final word. Rather, almost immediately, God proclaims, "The serpent's head will be crushed." The cross of Calvary is the crushing of that serpent's head. Yes, his heel is bitten into. The Son of God had to die in order to accomplish it. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Sin reigned in death, but now grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God for faithful men. Thanks be to God for faithful women. Thanks be to God for faithful Jews and faithful Greeks. Thanks be to God for faithful slaves and faithful masters. Thanks be to God that salvation doesn't rest on who we are, but who he is. The church sings. All praise for Mary Magdalene, whose wholeness was restored. By you, her faithful master, her Savior and her Lord, on Easter morning early, a word from you sufficed, for she was first to see you, her Lord, the risen Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.